All right, all right, all right. Welcome to the KNS Radio Network. Here we are on a Tuesday. Let's take our sponsors off the bat. We've got Heather's Flowers of Frankfort, The Oasis Frankfort, Wappler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gem City Junction Frankfort, ProBike Computers, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, Live for Life Indiana Lebanon, and Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch. Good morning, Alan. We appreciate you jumping on board with us. I'm Kevin Keith, and this is the KNS Radio Network. Make sure you tell your friends if they haven't dialed us in yet, if they haven't got the Live 365 app. All you got to do, and please tell all the people you can. I talked to someone yesterday who knew I was on the radio, but they were trying to find me on the dial position. And I told them, they got to think a little more. 2024, it is online only. So tell your friends, it's knsradionetwork.com. And when you get there, you don't have to surf anymore. All you got to do is just click on the Listen Now tab, and we've got everything you need there. And in a few days, I'll be adding more to the knsradionetwork.com website. And, of course, we've got our interviews there. We're going to start doing more local news. We've got editorials. So make sure you tell all your friends you can and check it out early and often, just like voting. Don't vote early and often. Please don't do that. So a couple things this hour. And later on this hour, I'll be talking with Clinton County Democrat Party Chairman Mark Newhart, who is a really good man. And I've known Mark for the last 6 years or so that I've been in Clinton County. And he's also running for county council. So we'll kill two birds with one stone when we talk to Mark later this half hour. Mark from the Mulberry area, and we're going to talk about his campaign for county council, and also how hard or how easy or how he's working on getting more Democrats on the tickets in Clinton County since he is the party chair. And then also we'll talk a little bit of national politics from a Democrat, Republican standpoint, and if we have time, I'm going to sneak in a little bit of state stuff, too, with Jennifer McCormick, the Democrat, and Mike Braun, the Republican. Mark Newhart coming up later on this half hour. I'm Kevin Keith, and yesterday we had a little bit of response to my illegal immigration news and commentary. I want to read two that we had sent to Kevin at knsradionetwork.com. The first one was from Thomas Galapagos. Thomas said, thanks for sharing. It's also not just a crisis of dollars and cents. It's a crisis of what an economist would call an opportunity cost. Every illegal whose child must be granted a space in our schools takes away valuable resources from the children of taxpaying citizens. And he's right. And they're often disruptive in the classroom because when you take a child who can't understand the local language and put him in a lesson delivered in English, he's going to get bored and act out. Jails, prisons, emergency rooms, all burdened with the costs of harboring the lowest common denominator, invading our border, who have contributed nothing but represent massive costs. And then there's law enforcement, overburdened by calls to deal with criminals who shouldn't be here in the first place and who are now stretched even thinner when it comes to serving the citizens they are supposed to serve and for which we thank them. Social services, not immune either. This invasion we've seen over the last 4 years will have effects that last 50 years into the future. It's unconscionable, and it's an outright violation of the terms of presidential office via Article 5, Section 4 of the United States Constitution that the current dementia patient swore to uphold and defend the day he took office. Talking about our President Biden, it's outright treason, Thompson says. And Thompson obviously didn't hold any punches there. And I think that most of us would agree with exactly what Thompson said there. It is atrocious. It is treasonous. Libby Redding said that she has a World War II veteran that can't get any help. He's worked hard all his life. It's very sad. Just about every illegal immigrant is able to walk into the FSSA office and get some services. Or if you go to larger communities, get even more, bigger, better services. But here we have, in Clinton County, a World War II vet. can't get any help. And he's got to be getting up in age if he's a World War II vet. So that's certainly atrocious as well. I saw this that I thought, boy, this is something that it really snuck up on us. It is Hurricane Milton. And boy, I tell you what, Milton is looking really, really dangerous as he's going to roll into Florida probably Wednesday afternoon is the way it's looking. Now, I've got the latest this morning, and it's unbelievable how mandatory evacuations are underway across the west coast of Florida as millions of residents prepare for life-threatening impacts from Hurricane Milton. Now, Milton yesterday strengthened into a powerful Category 5 storm with winds of 175 miles per hour. And I thought, man, that is the highest winds I believe I may have ever heard of from a hurricane. And I got doing a little looking and checking. At 175 miles per hour, Milton is the strongest Atlantic hurricane in 5 years since Hurricane Dorian in 2019. Milton also tied for the fourth strongest storm since record keeping began. Hurricane Allen had 190 mile per hour winds and holds the record for the strongest Atlantic hurricane. But man, when you're talking 175 to 190, there's not much difference. The situation is becoming dire in Florida, with state and local officials warning residents that the time to prepare for the life-threatening storm is running out. They say people near the coast or living in low-lying areas need to get out before the storm approaches and brings with it a potentially deadly storm surge that can reach up to 12 feet in some spots, including Tampa Bay. Now, I've got a Facebook friend who I know a lot of you are friends with as well. He's from the Frankfort area. He's a big hot dog fan. He collects hot dog memorabilia. He comes back a couple times a year to enjoy Frankfort. Mark Stoops. He's now living in the Florida area. And I saw on his Facebook page yesterday, he said, well, we got to get a little bit done this morning, and then we've got to take off and evacuate. So he's been ordered to evacuate. And again, if you're friends with Mark on Facebook, you can probably follow him and find out a little more. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis already placed 51 of the state's 67 counties under a state of emergency on Monday, and President Joe Biden approved the state's pre-landfall emergency declaration request, which now authorizes Department of Homeland Security and FEMA to coordinate on all disaster relief efforts. We're going to see how FEMA is going to work and if they really have any money left or not here in a couple days. The first alerts were posted along Florida's Gulf Coast yesterday morning. Those have since expanded to include more areas of central Florida. And they're talking about even on the east coast of Florida, this could be bad. But on the west coast, if this thing comes in at 175 miles per hour or even a Category 4, it's going to be catastrophic. So hurricane watches stretch along the Florida Gulf Coast. Tropical storm watch is also in effect as far south as the Keys, as well as from Flamingo to south of the Suwannee River to Indian Pass. I'm not familiar with Florida, the details of the region, but I'm sure that's a big, wide swath. So we certainly wish them the best of luck, and we hope that it is not that dangerous, but it's probably not looking good Wednesday afternoon. Hope that everyone has a chance to get out of harm's way. One more thing I wanted to talk to you about before we get to Mark Newhart here is something I talked about the other day, and that was the absurdity of Eli Lilly trying to convince everyone that they are awesome stewards of each community, particularly our communities that they come into, or our neighbors' communities, Lebanon, down south of us. I saw this yesterday. Thanks to the introduction of weight loss drugs, a decades-long rise in obesity may have been reversed in a few short years. In a public health milestone, the U.S. adult obesity rate stopped its long climb and dropped by roughly 2 percentage points between 2020 and 2023, according to new data. No direct evidence links the fall in U.S. obesity rates with the proliferation of weight loss drugs such as Wegovy, Zepbound, and others, but the Financial Times deems it highly likely that they played a major role. Now, 1 in 8 American adults have used these drugs, which can result in a loss in total body weight of 3 to 12%, more than what a lifestyle change alone can bring. That's according to the Mayo Clinic. College graduates who are more likely to take the new class of weight loss drugs are seeing the steepest decline in obesity rates. And the usage of these medications took off in 2021, right in the period when the drop was reported, according to The Independent. Now, those pharma companies have reaped the rewards too, of course. Danish company Novo Nordisk, which Bloomberg calculated has a larger market value than the entire economy of its home country, said that Ozempic accounted for 27% of its net sales in fiscal 23. At a market cap of $799 billion, Zepbound maker Eli Lilly is worth more than Walmart, JP Morgan, and ExxonMobil. So again, so big, they're so out of touch. So an alternative take is the co-founder of Regeneron. That's a biotech company that's pursuing an experimental weight loss drug that preserves muscle mass, said the drugs on the market could ultimately do more harm than good since they cause patients to lose muscle at a much faster rate than other weight loss strategies, such as just changing your diet and not being such a pig, right? So I think it just goes to show that there is no shortcut when it comes to losing weight. Yes, some of this works, but you're losing your muscle mass, and that's going to hurt you when you get older and you're trying to have strong bones and stuff. So I hope it works out well, but it's like anything else, in moderation. Let's just thank our community-minded partners here at the KNS Radio Network. We've got Heather's Flowers, The Oasis, Frankfurt, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gym City Junction in Frankfurt, Probite Computers, Pizza Hut of Frankfurt, Live for Life Indiana, Lebanon, and Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch.
I've got Mark Newhart on line 3 here. He is the Clinton County Democrat Party Chairman. He's also County Council candidate. First off, Mark, I want to say thanks for sitting down with me.
Hey, you're welcome. I figured we'd be on number one, line one, not three. But that's okay.
It's a busy morning around here sometimes.
There you go. Levity, anyway. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you being available for us. What I've been trying to do over the last month or so and leading up to the November 5th general election is trying to talk to every candidate that is running for any office in Clinton County, whether they're contested or not. And of course, most people know that I've always leaned to the right, but I want to give everyone a fair shot. And I know you and I have always had a good relationship going back to my days at working at WILO. And I was glad to see that you were running and available for an interview, Mark.
Well, good. Thanks. Good. Great to talk to you. I may lean a little farther left than you do right, but hey, I was taught to debate politics, not to argue, and
absolutely,
yeah. So what it's come to in some cases now.
Right, right. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. First off, you are on the docket for county council at large position, I believe. And when we get there, we're going to have a choice to vote for. Is it 3 this year?
Yeah, there's 3 at-large candidates, 3 at-large seats. Mm-hmm. So it just so happens I'm the only Democrat on the ballot. So
right,
you'll either have to vote for me and none of the Republicans, or a couple of the Republicans and me. So
right,
be your choice. That's the big thing. It is, we still live in a democracy, and it is a choice.
Right, right. I think I'd personally love to see you get on that county council, if nothing else, to provide some kind of balance and you know, some kind of equality on there.
Exactly, exactly. That's what we're striving for, is checks and balances. I may agree on a lot of things that the council does, but there'll be odd and end things that I don't agree with. So that's part of the reason that I am running.
It seems like that county council board and really city council in Frankfort, it's a lot of unanimous yes votes, and they don't steer away from that. You don't see a whole lot of 4-3 votes or anyone stepping out too much and having their own independent thinking and thoughts, which there it could be argued that a unanimous vote shows, you know, that unity. But at the same time, I can't help but think that if they're representing the county, you can't tell me that every single person they represent is going to want them to go up there and just agree 100% of the time.
Exactly. I'm not a rubber stamp kind of person. Even within my own party, there's things I disagree with. And it just, there's got to be a little contexture, got to be a little, context to what's going on and stuff. The meetings that I've attended, the ones I've witnessed, watched online, I agree there's a lot of rubber stamping going on, most of it for the good, but I'd still like to see some things, brought up, debated.
Mm-hmm. Is there one or two things, Mark, that stands out to you for the county council particularly? I know property taxes is something that we've all been talking about, and county council has some to do with that. But is there one or two topics that you would like to get in there and maybe start talking about day one if elected?
Well, the expenditure of property taxes is kind of out of the hands of.
Right.
But, I'd definitely like to see some difference of that. I don't know if your viewers know, but in Clinton County, this goes to basically back to state. We have the crossing as the only non-public school we have in Clinton County. Mm-hmm. Yet Clinton County taxpayers, over $2.6 million of your property tax money went for vouchers at private schools that, for the most part, don't have that much accountability. They can allow in anybody they want to those schools. They don't have to be ADA compliant as far as that goes, mm-hmm. letting in people with disabilities. But $2.6 million of our tax money is back to those schools all over the state for their vouchers. I believe it's school choice, yes, but not to the point to where it's costing Clinton County taxpayers over $2.6 million is what I'm getting out of that. I would, as far as locally, I would like to see some of the spending maybe go back toward taxpayers versus these tax abatements that we're giving MTK, NHK, Frito-Lay, different entities in here that are making money and are selling their shares and stocks. They're going to employ people whether we give them a huge tax abatement or not. I'd just like to see them pay more of their fair share to kind of ease the burden on the poor middle class here in Clinton County.
You know, that's a good point, Mark, because you always hear that if we don't give them those tax abatements, they'll pull up shop and go somewhere else. I think it would have to be pretty extreme for them to pull up shop and give up these 500 square foot facilities and all the equipment. You know, that would cost them a lot to move.
500, you mean like 5,000 and 500,000 square foot?
Right,
yeah,
right.
Huge. I don't think PepsiCo is going to uproot Frito-Lay and move them, and the same with the NPK, NHK, and either of those. To benefit small business, I know that Phillips Tool and Saul and Tool had an abatement, and they came through with, they expanded, they hired people. I mean, small business is where most people are employed. There's a lot of people in Frito-Lay here, yes, but overall in the country, there's more people, small businesses and running small businesses that deserve or deservingly should get some more of that tax money.
Yeah, that's a fact. You know, in this day and age, they could easily use automation or start investing in that. And if you can give tax abatements to those small businesses, they're the ones, you know, like you said, helping out and hiring. And man, even if they can hire some more people, that's a true good thing for the county.
Well, yeah, it raises the tax base, you bet.
Mm-hmm.
And the raising wages raises the tax rate, so tax base, not rate.
Right. Well, Mark, I know you're on top of running for county council here in Clinton County. You're also the Democrat Party chairman for Clinton County and have been for several years, at least all the years I've known you. I know that, you know, Clinton County, as a lot of Indiana is predominantly Republican, at least in name. What can you do to get more of the Democrats who are in Clinton County maybe on the ballot and get more of them out there running for different offices up and down the ballot?
It's never ending. I made phone calls today. We've got there's an opening at the on the town board in Colfax. I was on the phone making calls. Well, I've been working on this for about the last couple of weeks, trying to make inroads to get somebody to take over that open seat. It's never ending.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to people and unfortunately or unfortunately, I don't have a whole lot of problem. I haven't met too many strangers in my life. So just networking and working with people, you know, whether they're Democrats or not. I just, you know, my service to people and working with people is where I strive to go and strive to stay.
And really, especially when you see yard signs or you get out and start talking to people, there's a lot more Democrats in Clinton County than one may think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's quite a few. And bless those people that do split tickets. I mean, I've split my ticket for years on different occasions, obviously. And it's looking at people and where they lie. Now, this tribalism that's it's making it a little more difficult because people are, I don't know, they're sticking to their guns where maybe they shouldn't be, but you can't, you know, you can lead a horse, but you can't make them drink, so to speak. So you deal with it any way you can.
Plus, when you have those, when you identify those individuals or you start talking to them, it's not everyone who is cut out to run for office. So you got that?
No, and that's true. You know, there is some vetting and weeding out, obviously.
Right.
For that goes not just for me, but for my Republican counterpart too. Has to go through all that process too.
Right.
But yeah.
Well, we're coming upon a presidential election here as well that night on November 5th for the general election. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of Harris Walls yard signs, probably more than I've seen Biden Harris 4 years ago. And I think I could guess where you're going to vote. But at the same time,
I'm going to vote in Mulberry. That's where I'm going to go vote.
Right. I've heard some people say that they'll secretly vote for Harris, although they say they're going to vote for Trump. I guess we'll just have to wait and see that night when all the votes are counted. But
yeah,
you know, I think it's
a secret ballot to start with, and so you know, we'll keep it that way.
Right. I think it's important that we point out that, you know, regardless of what these national politicians are doing or what they stand for or what they're saying, it's important for all of us to remain civil with the people that we see in church and Walmart and you know, out in the public. Us Democrats and Republicans are on a local level. We're not debating abortion and illegal immigration. You know, these are our friends and coworkers. So I think it's important that we understand and realize we have a lot more in common than we probably sometimes may think.
Yeah, well, that's true, but I'll leave to this. Don't be afraid to of your feelings. I mean, I'll be quite frank with you. I'm not for abortion, but I am pro the mother and the parents and the doctor. I am pro their choice, not the government's choice in the doctor's office. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I don't particularly believe in abortion, but I certainly don't believe that, you know, if the circumstances, the doctor and the woman, it's their choice. That should be their choice, not mine or some legislator. So please, don't be afraid. That's what debate is about. And the more we talk about it and get things out in the open, I think the more civil we can actually be. I mean, we're all Hoosiers. We are civil. But what really gets me about that is Indiana ranks 51st in voter turnout. I mean, you know, we're the worst state in the union as far as voter turnout. And if we don't participate, then we're doomed to be ruled by our inferiors. That's what Plato said. And that irks me more than somebody else's opinion. It's just the people that may or may not have an opinion, but they don't use their voice to get it out there in the way of a vote. I mean, we were given the right to vote by our forefathers, and it's on us to take advantage and do that. And like I said, I'm more upset at the people that don't give a 2 cents, a rat's patootie, to go vote, thinking that it doesn't make any difference. Well, damn it, it does make a difference if you don't vote.
Right.
I mean, the people that don't vote could get somebody elected. They've got a larger percentage than the people that do vote. And then when you do vote for somebody, it takes 15, 10, 15, 20% or less to get that person elected. So you're telling me that 20% of the people in this county, 21%, I think, voted primary. That's right. That's a fair, you know, on who gets elected. Now we should be doing better. We've got to do better as Hoosiers, as Clinton County people from Jim City. We've got to do better than less than, you know, less than 50% getting out the vote.
You know, Mark, it's ironic that you brought that up. This was my final question, was I was going to ask you how important it is to vote and how absurd it was, like you said, 21% this last primary. And going back to the prior elections over the last four or five that I covered at Wylo, it was always 30% or less voter turnout in Clinton County. And I would
46 at the last general election, 46.
Well, okay, good.
And that's doing good as far as you know, the state. So,
right. Yeah, but that makes me feel a little better.
It does.
But if you have 20%, 21%, like you said, that's two people out of every 10 making the decision for all of us
that are electing our officials.
Yeah.
And I mean, at the state level, look where it's got it. 20 years we've had a Republican domination. We're 47th in education. We're number one in teen suicide. That's not something I'd be proud of. We lead the country in teen suicide. Mm-hmm. We're 47th in place to live, people wanting to live here. You know, we got to do better. We can't justify letting 20% of the people pick the people that are over us making our laws. That's just not right, not fair.
I think, you know, the buck stops with the governor, and I've never been a Governor Holcomb fan, even as a Republican, mm-hmm. but seeing him over the last 5 or 6 years in these couple terms he's had and what he's done with the LEAP district and the IEDC, I just think it's...
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I think it's atrocious, and we should be embarrassed to have him as a governor. I'll say that.
The IEDC is an entity on its own, basically with no boundaries, no rules.
Right.
Seems like we just granted them another $50 million a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, there's got to be some rules. I've known Jennifer McCormick for a few years now, and I'm backing her wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that, mm-hmm. at least for governor. You know, it's just some of the things that she's got on the table.
I think she'll do pretty well, and she may get even closer than we may think to Holcomb, because Rainwater will probably take some of those votes from, or not Holcomb, but Braun. Rainwater will probably.
Yeah, I think so. More, I think it'll more steal votes from Braun than it would from McCormick.
Yeah.
I think she's doing well on her own. I mean, well enough that the Democratic Governors Association just threw $600,000 into her campaign. Also, the same, the Attorney Generals are going behind Destiny Wells. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you've got, I'm not a Holcomb or a Todd Rokita fan. You could probably guess that.
Right.
And Todd Rokita's doing everything but working for the people. He's into classrooms, into our libraries, and into our doctor's offices, spending taxpayer money on frivolous lawsuits when he ought to be out helping the individual Hoosiers.
Yeah, he's doing everything but what an attorney general should do.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, I agree with that too.
If you check on Destiny Wells, she's a lieutenant colonel. She's a vet. Well, she's still active reservist. Mm-hmm. Spends 3 out of 4 weeks serving the country. She worked in the Attorney General's office under Curtis Hill and then Todd Rokita before she got out of there temporarily. Mm-hmm. as an assistant to Attorney General. So she's got the experience and know-how and the leadership for that job also. There's change coming. There's definitely change coming. We hadn't even talked about the Senate race. Dr. McCray, she's a clinical psychologist and works with people. And you've got, what's that guy's name? Is it Long? Is that his name? From up around Fort Wayne that's running for senator. My gosh, he not too long ago, he got arrested, got pulled over driving the wrong way on the freeway up there drunk. And they've kind of looked past all that, plus his extreme positions with abortion and his extreme positions about January 6th. So we're not even got into that stuff, and I don't know if we got time to even get into that today, Kevin.
Right. Right. I was trying to look. I've got my a ballot here, and I don't know. I was trying to see exactly. I was trying to see exactly.
Jim Banks. Oh, who it is.
Yeah.
64% of Hoosiers believe that abortion should be legal. In some cases, he's an extremist. He's wanting to make abortion basically illegal to all.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take some of these things. You got to listen to the people that you want to represent. So, and I just don't think that's happening at those levels.
Yeah, and at those levels, you have to really educate yourself and see where they stand, because what they say is, you know, they'll usually tell you the truth about themselves, good or bad.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly, they will.
Well, so, Mark.
Like I said, when you got 60, 80% of the populace thinks one way and you're legislating a different way, you know, something's not right. We're not a referendum state like other ones, so you don't get the voice of the people except through their legislators.
Right. That's a good point.
And when only 15-20% of the people are electing those people, you know, you're not going to get a clear view, I don't think.
So. Yeah, that's not an accurate representation at all, is it?
Thank you. No, exactly.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Well, Mark, I appreciate you again taking time to talk to me today. Clinton County Democratic Party Chairman Mark Newhart, best of luck to you on November 5th, and maybe we'll talk again.
Well, it doesn't take long. It's just remember Newhart in November. That's what I've been telling people.
All right.
So if you want a bigger voice, step right up.
Thanks again.
Kevin, I appreciate you setting this interview up, and glad to been able to talk to the people that I want to represent. So thanks again.